Let the church begin by saying amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you to say it one more time because it feels and it sounds really, really good to say that word. So one more time, how about amen?
Amen.
I like that. So just give me 1 second to get comfortable here. I'm not like Pastor Jeff to where I feel comfortable without my manuscript. Okay. All right. So, if you don't know by now, you can tell that I'm on one. In my culture, that means that I'm feeling really, really good today. I'm feeling good because for the final time this semester, only the semester, I'm here standing before you. For me, this is a big accomplishment. You know, as always, I want to thank Pastor Jeff for giving me the opportunity on all those Sundays. I appreciate that. It is a very humbling experience for me. And believe me when I say, I'm very, very grateful. You see, indeed, I am happy to be here on this day. Like I said, it's a very special occasion. I'm happy just to be in this place, a place that has allowed me to grow spiritually, a place full of people that have showed me love and given me the encouragement that I needed from the very first day. The first day that I walked in, and they continue to do so. I came in today, and I had a card in my mailbox. And it was from a member who says, "Thank you for your last sermon." That made me feel good. Even better than I feel right now. And for all that I have just said, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you. You know, I must admit that I didn't know what to expect when I walked through those doors. I've said it before. You know, and I'm pretty sure you didn't know what to expect when I walked through the doors. But I will tell you that I know for a fact that it has been by the grace of God that I'm standing before you right now. There were times when I wanted to just give up. I even threw my hands up at times, and I questioned God, why me? This is something all too new for me. I'm not prepared to do the work that you have called me to do. Why me? I need your help because I don't think I can make it through. But more than once, believe me when I tell you, I have shouted out loud, "The Lord is my shepherd, and for that I shall not want." So right now, I ask that you bow your head for a quick word of prayer. God, right now, all I want to do is say thank you and ask that you fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Amen. So today's text, as Bob read earlier, is known by both the churched and the unchurched. But when I began to read, of course, you're going to read it from whatever version that you read. Usually I carry the NIV around with me, but I didn't want to read from that today because I knew that Bob was going to read from a different version. So I had to go back to the very first Bible that someone gave me when I told them I was entering seminary. And I went here, and I'm going to read the verses again. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some of you may say, why is she reading that again? I read it again because I consider this one of the most beautiful pieces of poetry in the Bible. Like many, it's probably their favorite passage. You know, Psalms 23 is perhaps one of the most memorized and the most recited of all the Psalms. You see, ministers have used it to comfort people who are going through personal trials, suffering from illnesses, wanting to feel that comfort, and et cetera, just whatever that they needed at the time. Some of the words of this psalm have been the last words people have said or even heard in their life. You see, this is a highly requested text to be preached at many different occasions. It is precious to us. You see, it's like the oil because it soothes our soul. And what makes this text our constant friend is that it covers all of our life. You see, there are places in Scripture that are more powerful and goes a little deeper than others. That when you recite them, it's like you begin to experience these words. Psalms 23 is one of those places. You see, Psalms 23 is very personal. You see, if you look closely, there is no reference to we or to us, to they, but it's only my, me, and I, and you. Do you realize that this psalm was David's testimony? You see, David decided to write this beautiful piece of scripture because of his personal experience with God. You see, David had been through things, so David developed a relationship with God. You see, I decided to look at two words from this text, and both are in the first verse. The first one is shepherd. You see, Webster's dictionary tells us that a shepherd is one that protects, guides, and watches over a group or people. That shepherd to us is God. The next word is the word want. I shall not want. Want. That word means to feel a need or desire for. So I'm here to tell you today, guess what? We are all children of God, and because of that, we don't have to want for nothing. The thing with wanting is that we want what we want when we want it. But sometimes we have to wait on it. But in today's time, people don't like to wait. They want what I call that microwave blessing. And the waiting goes against the faith that they have in God. Do you have faith to believe that God is going to do what he said? Again, in this text, David's whole life is written right here in these six verses. What I realized while preparing for this, even though I reread the whole text to you, I only needed to stop at the very first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, picture this. One day there's a little shepherd boy named David. He was at work tending to his sheep. He was equipped with the tool of his trade to do his job, which was a rod and a staff. He was charged with getting the sheep from one place to the next very safely, sound and secure. He was in charge of finding and providing food for the sheep. You see, he had to lead them down a path that wasn't full of danger. He had to walk them through a place that was a dark, dark valley. And even though the sheep were probably afraid of this tight place, the shepherd wasn't, because he had made this journey before. You see, he had gone on that path many, many times before. The shepherd knew and understood that if the sheep would just listen and have faith in me, that they would get through that dark valley, but also to a place where God would provide a table that would allow them to eat, despite the fact there were enemies all around them. You guys missed it. The shepherd understood. That if the sheep would just listen and have faith in me, that if they would not only get through that dark valley, but they would also get to a place where God would provide a table that would allow them to eat, despite the fact that there were enemies all around. Why did I emphasize that? As Dev talked, we talked about the table. The table, as she said, has two sides. One for me, and the other for my friend or my foe. But if God has prepared this table for me, if I don't want that person or that thing over on my side, God is going to keep it away. Also, the shepherd would carry a jar of oil around just in case the sheep happened to get injured. If the sheep got injured, the shepherd took that oil and poured it on their sores. You see, the shepherd understood that the sheep had no worry in the world because he was their shepherd. And surely, goodness and mercy would follow the sheep for the rest of their lives. You see, David was the shepherd who was over his flock. And as he started thinking about and caring for his sheep, David started to think about how God had cared for him. You see, for him, God became the shepherd, and David became the sheep. Again, God became the shepherd. David became the sheep. First, David was a shepherd and had to lead the sheep. Now David writes that he was a sheep being led by God, the shepherd. You see, David said, God is my shepherd. Just like the sheep that I had led through safely, I shall not want. Because God will make me lie down to rest. God will restore my soul. God will lead me in the right direction. God will lead me through those dark valleys. But in no way am I worried. Because in the hands of my God, there is a staff and there is a rod. And if I fear anything, then my shepherd is equipped to take care of me. He said, I know for myself that God will heal all of my wounds. God will take care of my pain. David said, surely, surely is a sign. That means certainty. So David said, surely God is my shepherd that leads me and guides me, feeds me and protects me. And he also fights for me. He said, surely my God is in charge. He said, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Because David understood that God was in charge of his everything. David saw God as his shepherd. David wrote this psalm looking at how he had tended his sheep. Do you realize that here, Pastor Jeff would be considered the shepherd? I would be considered a part-time shepherd. You all will be considered the sheep. Do you realize that when that oil is poured on that shepherd, it trickles down to the sheep? When it's trickled down from the shepherd to the sheep, guess where that oil is to go next? You all should take that oil and distribute it to the community and to those around you. Since Pastor Jeff has always given us an assignment to do, I decided I wanted to give you one too. When you get home and you're by yourself, I ask that you sit back. And when you start to chill a little bit, I want you to think about how good God has been to you. I said, I want you to think about how good God has been to you. And I suggest that you write your own psalms and you tell God exactly how you feel, because that is what David did. You see, David said, God is my shepherd. But you may say, God is my friend. You also may say, I have sickness in my body, but God is my healer. Your money may seem a little funny, but God is my provider. You may seem weak, but you may say, God is my strength. God is my comforter. If my God is all of this, then there is nothing that I should ever want, because God must be my everything. I say, do you know? It's good to give God praise for the victory. That's what David was doing. He was giving God praise in his own way, because through everything that David went through, there was victory. Is there anyone here that knows like I know that God has been good to us? And that when I think about how he takes care and how he works and what he does when he does it, I gotta tell God, thank you. Thank you for being who you are. If I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't know what it's like to be a shepherd, but I can tell you what I know from experience, and that God is my doctor. God is my friend. When others walked away, God stayed right there with me. I can tell you that God is my joy. What I wanted to give up, God showed up. I can tell you that God is my bank when I didn't have two pennies to rub together. When I only had $5 to put in that gas tank, and it had to last me all week long, God, my God, made a way. God is my everything. And for this, I shall not want. I say, look at somebody and ask, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? Have you taken it to God and put it in the hands of God? Because if you love God like you say you love God, then you don't mind telling someone what God supplied. That caused you not to want for anything any longer. You missed it. If you love God like you say you love God, then you don't mind telling someone what God supplied. That's caused you no longer want for anything. You see, growing up, I would always hear my grandmom and them talk about, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? You see, now I understand where they were coming from. They too had experienced some valleys. So I encourage you to write your song. I encourage you to tell your story. Even if you don't share it with anyone, tell your story. Tell somebody, I don't know how you feel, but I love God. You see, in Philippians 4 and 19, I noticed that it says that our Lord supplies our every need, not our every want. As Paul told the Philippians, and my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what a good shepherd is like. He loves his sheep. For him, there is no greater reward, no deeper satisfaction than to see that all of his sheep are content, well-fed, safe. That's what David's life was all about. That's what your life is all about. When you walk through the doors of this place, this house, this church, that's what we want for you. From early dawn to late at night, the Good Shepherd is alert to the well-being of his flock. He gets up early in the morning and he goes out first thing to look over his flock. He examines the sheep to see if they are fit and content and able to be on their feet. That's what a good shepherd does. He can tell if they have been bothered during the night, if they are ill and require some special attention. Through the day, he looks over his flock to make sure everything is all right. Even at night, he sleeps with one eye open but he sleeps with both ears open. You'll get that on your way home. He does this because he's ready at the least sign of trouble to get up and to protect his sheep. So once again, I tell you, that's the kind of shepherd that we have. We have that in God. We have that in the shepherd of this house. Jesus said in John 10 and 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So with that I say, God is my rock. God is my source, my everything. And for that, the Lord is my shepherd. I truly shall never ever want for anything again. Amen.